Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time. You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down. Cruise, man. Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to do some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys are getting your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to... I put down the babies, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, game time!
Okay there, family. Welcome to another Parent Culture Parent Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, M.H. Scott, and I guarantee we're going to have another exciting show this evening. We're going to be talking about the recruiting process and how you get from start to finish with that process. Trust me, you're going to need to have your pen and paper and pencil and everything else ready for you so that way when we start hitting these questions and getting these answers from our wonderful special guests, then you'll be able to keep up with us. If you don't keep up with us, trust me, give us a call, ask a question, and we can accommodate you. You can reach us at 646-929-2416. 646-929-2416. But as always, I can't start my show without giving my man, Mr. Keith Wright, some props. Keith, where you at?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hate then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and the knowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
That was my man, Mr. Keith Wright, and as always, he said he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. And, you know, parents, we should take that concept and put that in to our parents and our kids' notebook every day, making smart cool, because smart being cool is a wonderful thing. And trust me, if you look at it from that perspective, then your athletes will definitely get through the process without any problems. But as always, I'm not going to prolong it. Looking out there to see if my co-host is on the line, but he's not on the line with us this evening, so hopefully we can get our special guest up on the line, see if our special guest is out there. All right, if you can hold on for a second. Coach A, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing?
Hey, Coach A, what's going on? What's going on? How's the weather out that way, first of all?
Oh, it's pretty nice. A little bit of overcast. Might rain a little bit. Mostly hot.
Okay. Yeah, we definitely had some crazy weather here over the last couple of days. Early this morning, it was kind of cold, and middle of the day, it started raining, and, you know, now we're trying to look like the sun's trying to go out, but it's trying to go down at the same time, so I don't know what's going on. I think it's time for me to get out of this area. I've been here too long or something like that.
Uh-oh.
But this evening, calls we have our special guest, Coach A, Coach Angela Davidson, calling in from the great state of Texas. And trust me, she's going to share some information and knowledge and wisdom with you that all of you parents, that if you have a student athlete involved in the process, you need to be aware of it. You need to be aware of it. Coach A, give us a little insight of who Ms. Angela Davis is.
Well, I am a humanitarian and entrepreneur that is not just trying to give back in my community, but the basketball community altogether. I am a former international player, played in FIBA Europe and at the collegiate level, And I'm now currently the CEO of my own company for nearly 7 years as a lead skills trainer, a personal impact coach, and college-bound advisor of impacting the game. And I basically try to give back, you know, athlete resources to help them in whatever their next level is. And mostly those are athletes that intend to obtain a college athletic scholarship.
And that's enough said. That's enough said. So you understand their parents, Coach A is about business. She is here to support you. She is here to make sure that you understand the process just as well as I understand the process, and well, just as well as your athletes should understand the process. You know, I've been talking to Coach A over the last few months or so, and, you know, we kind of sort of got that mutual understanding that this thing is important for our athletes. And the more we understand about it as parents and outsiders of the game, then the better off I think our athletes will be in the whole recruiting process. What do you think about that there, Coach A?
Absolutely, Mike. And that is what recruiting is. It is a connecting and communication process between the student, athlete, parent, and the recruiter, which is, you know, representative of the perspective.
Okay. And, you know, I look at something and, you know, I had a athlete, though, I shouldn't say athlete, that's actually my son. I had my son go through the process myself some years ago, which formed me to start thinking about, okay, what happens with other parents that don't get that information, you know, and all these other different little questions that popped up in my head. But, you know, we got a thing of questions that we're going to ask Coach A, and hopefully Coach A is going to give us some good insight. So parents, again, make sure you got your pens, the papers, and pencils ready, because we're about to hit some questions here that you need to have answers to. And if you can answer these questions before Coach A finishes or while she's answering them, then you're on top of the recruiting game. If you can't and you get stumped, you get stumbled, you get tricked, or whatever the case may be, then you may be behind the power curve. Coach A, when should an athlete get started with the recruiting process? Hello? Hello? Hey, Coach, are you still on the line with us? Okay, somehow seem to have gotten disconnected. But we're going to see if we can get Coach A back up on the line there. Coach A, you still in there with us?
I'm here, Mike.
Okay. I don't know what happened there. I don't know if the wind blew the wrong way and we lost you for a second or what happened. But now going back to my original question, when should an athlete get started with the recruiting process?
As they're aware that they want to play basketball at the next level. You know, as a eighth grader, I knew that I wanted to. It was an aspiration of mine. And so as early as that, as, you know, colleges, universities, as young as you are going to a collegiate basketball camp, that's when they can feast their eyes upon you. And you can kind of get a relationship going, as I mentioned before, in this connection process. So as young as you're capable of, you know, sending your athlete to a collegiate basketball camp, that's where it all begins.
Okay. And so, you know, if a camp starts at you know, for whatever reason, some coach has a camp and he's out there, he's starting at, you know, seventh and eighth grade, that's definitely a time to go ahead and get your athlete involved, if I'm hearing that correct.
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely. There are, you know, there are athletes that are prodigies, that are, and this is not only just at collegiate basketball camps, but camps that are offered through different entities that provide ranking, and so athletes are being ranked younger and younger, and so whether or not, you know, ranking has, you know, validity, and some people agree and disagree upon that, you know, my son, for example, was Adidas Junior Phenom MVP for our Dallas region, and so which gave him ranking, and obviously a, you know, his name is out there now. And so for me, that starts the process. And so that is a part of the marketability of him as an athlete.
Okay. You know, and that's good that you mentioned that and you started talking about your son. You know, how does athletes know that they're being recruited? You know, what is that telltale sign that they know for sure that, okay, hey, there's some activity here. This coach may be interested in me somewhat.
Well, sure. Well, I mean, obviously, the best evidence is concrete evidence, and that would be mail or some type of inquiry that, you know, invitations to, you know, camps and exposure camps such as People to People, Blue Chips, and Adidas and Nike. And so those are things that, you know, immediately entities that colleges look, college recruiters look at, mail from them in particular, you know, whether it was, you know, hey, I saw you at this particular event and I was interested, whether it's tight or at some point of the recruiting process, it's handwritten emails. Whether it's reference and inquiry through, you know, a family member, you know, sometimes we overlook that, and sometimes we can have a reference by, you know, personal contact.
Oh, okay. You know, and you mentioned a good thing. You keep talking about the communication piece, and parents, you got to understand that is one of the key pieces to the entire recruiting process, to form some type of communication. Form some type of communication link with you and the institution that you are interested in. You know, I look at that and think about it oftentimes. You know, what are some of the biggest challenges that you have seen, you know, that recruits or that student athletes deal with in the recruiting process, Coach A?
Well, one of the major issues is marketability. They may not have knowledge of, number one, of their own individual ability, where they stand from a realistic standpoint in their skill level, their understanding of the game, their ranking in with respect to, you know, their the other prospects that are being recruited. And I try to personify it for athletes into a setting of a job fair. You know, the more that you put on your resume, the more marketable you are, and your statistics obviously make you, you know, reputable, incredible to the college recruiters. So the more that you have going for yourself, obviously if you come from a large state like Texas, for example, you number one, have to be doing well on your school basketball team. It's kind of difficult, and I do this within phases to inspire athletes. You know, obviously a goal to play collegiate basketball is going to be that I'm not going to want to make the B team or junior varsity. It's very possible that players, you know, can play JV and still get obtain an athletic scholarship at the collegiate level. But it's more likely, unless marketability effort put into it, if you strive for a higher level. And recruitment there are different levels of recruitment. So, you know, basically what I explain to them is that what you put in is what you're going to get out. You know, there are things that you can do. Go ahead.
Exactly. And I agree with you all the way. And I may have to say that I've ran into or I've experienced an exception to that part when you talk about you don't want to make the B squad or you don't want to be on the JV, you want to be, you know, on the varsity squad. I actually have, and just my personal experience, actually have a athlete that, before he actually had an opportunity to play his first varsity game, he was already in the recruiting pool. And,
wow.
You know, I think that was due to exposure, outside exposure, you know, like you said, the camps and the clinics, you know, different things like that. But before he stepped on the floor at the varsity level for his high school, He had already received a, you know, couple of pieces of correspondence from different coaches and things like that. And I'm speaking firsthand experience, and that child being my very own son. So,
well, that obviously means that you guys went the distance. You know, that's a part of the recruiting process, going the distance. How willing are you to, you know, to go the distance to make sure that that happens at the end of the day? You took a measure that, you know, in some venues, in some areas of the United States that not everybody is aware of. Not everybody is aware of AAU, Amateur Athletic Union, Select basketball, Showcase basketball, you know, 7-on-7 football, and those type of resources that are out there for exposure. Not everybody is aware of those, and some people do solely go based upon the UIL athletics, the high school athletic realm, to get a scholarship. In the state of Texas, we are more so driven by most of the athletes. There's a very high percentage of athletes that get their scholarship through the summer and not through school basketball.
Yeah, and see, with us, the majority of ours that, you know, get the high visibility or get the major D1s is normally through the Select or the AAU or the 7-on-7, you know, them type of programs, because for whatever reason, this area is not looked at as being a look from the basketball perspective. This area is not looked at as being a basketball area. Now, this area is great for football, and, you know, coaches will flock to the high schools to check out football players, but they will definitely not do a whole lot as far as the basketball is concerned. So oftentimes our athletes are out there, you know, at the various basketball showcases and tournaments and things of that nature, trying to get some looks before they, you know, before their school season comes around. But moving right along with our questions. To your understanding, and, you know, you've been in the game for a while, what type of provisions are in place for student athletes that have learning disabilities?
Athletes that are that have learning disabilities, whether they are special needs, 504, it is very important that their 504 is implemented and validated and is always in place as they progress. And that's on the academic realm, because it also justifies them on the athletic realm. And so,
Coach A, I'm going to stop you right there, because I need you to break that 504 down for me, because oftentimes – you know, parents don't understand the 504 aspect. You know, me and you talking, okay, we in tune, we sync. But give me a little bit more on that 504.
Well, the 504 is an individual evaluation plan, and I'm familiar with it, you know, in particular because my nephew that I adopted is on one as well. And it may be, they are basically accommodations, and you want those in place, and a lot of people don't know that those resources are out there. And my son is actually a celiac. He has celiac disease. And so basically what happens is as long as those accommodations are in place, they cannot be mistreated as a student athlete. There are accommodations such as, you know, the coach is informed and this is the deal. He has the right to compete. He has dietary stipulations in place and conditioning stipulations at certain points, whereas, you know, if there is an issue with his arthritic symptoms or his or an outbreak in his rash, then they have to respond to that. And so you have to have those things in place so that they're not left behind. And athletes, there are actually some colleges and universities that are for athletes that have impairments. I played with an athlete that actually got into WNBA free agent camp, and she was deaf. And it was pretty amazing. And as long as she had her interpreter there, she was, you know, she had the right to try out, compete, and participate at that level.
And you know, that's great that you share that with us, because I think oftentimes our parents miss out on that particular point, because they look at it, well, my child doesn't, you know, he got the grades, or, you know, he's been in these special classes or whatever the case, and don't realize that there's help and there's folks out there and there's vehicles in place to help our athletes get through these small obstacles that's in their way. and move on with their life and be successful students in college. So, you know, that 504 piece and letting parents know that there are provisions out there for them to assist them with their children. Do not pass that up, parents. I will say it. I'm quite sure Coach A will put the stamp on it. And anybody else that you talk to that's in it for the best of your child will let you know that there are things out there to help you get through this process. Okay, Coach A, we're going to move along with the questions here. How does a coach find an athlete? You know, because that's always, you know, that can come up a number of ways, or, nowadays we're dealing with some shady characters out there to help coaches find athletes because they're trying to get somebody to deal. But how does coaches normally find athletes?
Well, normally, obviously, through networking, all the coaches in the business, a lot of them know each other. It helps to know people personally in the business, and they have access to, like what you're saying, hopefully credible select and AAU coaches who offer their distribution. Some entities have offer profiling. Which a lot of college recruiting is done through profiling, and so that's basically how they get in contact with student athletes, and it just depends on the recruiter as well, how they expand, per their budget. Obviously, they have budgetary constraints that allow them to find athletes, and there may just be a lot of searching that goes on, and it's the same just as if, you know, you're the athlete trying to market yourself to the recruiter. So it's pretty equal in those that actually follow the book.
Okay. So the information is out there as long as the coach is trying to take that proper channel to find that athlete, you know. And like I tell the parents all the time, you know, you get to some of these different events. Coach A already mentioned 7-7. 7-on-7, the combines, the Nike, the Adidas, the the different tournaments and things of that nature, AAU, select sports, so on and so forth. Get to some of them things, and the word starts getting out, and you're looking at that point. You're marketing your athlete. You however you want to put it, parents. You're marketing your athlete. You're pimping your athlete. Whatever, you're trying to get that word out so that your child's being seen by the right people and you're involved in the process. Hey, Coach, sure. we're gonna pause for a cause, because I got to give Vivian and them some props while we're on the line as well. Parents, you know, we always got to give a shout out to our folks out there for Apogees. They are another free recruiting process bringing in our support, or bringing their support from the great state of Texas. Where you at there, Vivian?
Are you a high school student seeking a college athletic scholarship? Do you have questions concerning the college recruiting process? Have you asked yourself any of these questions? Who do I contact for a scholarship? What are the rules concerning athletic recruiting? What schools are best for me? Apogees.com allows high school athletes the tools to showcase their athletic skills to college coaches. Go to Apogees.com. That's APOGEEZS.com. They will help you navigate the college recruiting process for free. Apogees, the right college, right choice for the right student athlete.
So as you see, parents, you know, we got folks like Apogees out there trying to do the right thing, trying to help you out, as well as Coach A out there trying to do the right thing and help you out and making sure that you understand the process and able to get through the process without all the glitches. So, you know, one of the things that the Parent Culture Parent Network is all about, currently we're going to take on this mission of trying to shut down some of these violations that's going on out here in the world of sports, because there's our athletes that's paying the price in the long run. You know, it's not the, you know, little kid that went there, he was a walk-on and made it through, so on and so forth. It's our athletes that's out there that's paying that price. So, therefore, we got to be more involved. We got to be proactive instead of reactive. And we got to quit turning our eye and closing our eyes and turning our head, you know, and letting these things happen right here in front of us. So if you're aware of the process, you know, talking with someone like Coach A, talking with folks from Apogee, talking with the Parent Coaching Parent Network. We're all over. We're going to stretch out all over the United States if we can when this thing is over and done with. But we're going to make sure that you have the information that you need to have parents. Coach A, are you still on the line with us?
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. You know, I was thinking about something during the little commercial break, and I figured I'd ask you the question since you've been through the process, and at the same time, you've also worked with a number of athletes through your service. What's the big difference between the boys and girls recruiting process, if any?
Well, there is absolutely a huge difference in the violations, more so on the men's side, is why, you know, there's sometimes a monstrosity of what you're talking about because the men's side is a monopoly. It's more of a monopoly. There are monetary and material things that are being offered, and then you also have the pro element, you know, being able to leave straight out of high school and bypassing college, and you have athletes taking 1 year and, you know, and bypassing. And so there are a little more high incentives that have to be offered at the collegiate level to bring in those caliber of athletes versus on the girls' side. It's kind of like I equate it to, you know, to shopping. You know, for girls, you can pretty much buy something anywhere, and it may not necessarily be of quality. And so what happens is, for the girl side, if you have any type of, if you stand out in any type of way, you know, versus, you know, the other players that are in the same prospective pool, then it's a little bit easier process, and it's not as many. It's few and far between. I'm not going to say that the women's game fluctuates, I believe, more so than the men's game.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and you know, I'm telling you, parents, Coach A is putting it very nice and giving it to you with a little sugar on it because I call them straight out vultures, villains. I ain't got no use for them. If you're out there and you're not looking out for that athlete's best interest, you ain't got no business out there assisting, helping, calling yourself being part of the program in the first place. You know, like I said, Coach A is putting it to you very nice, but Parent Coach, the Parent Network has no use for you if you're not out there trying to do the right thing for that student athlete. And, you know, as she just said, even more so on the male side, because oftentimes the incentives are higher and, you know, the stakes are higher. And, you know, once they start waving the right carrot in front of your face, you know, the athlete get caught up in it. He gets caught up in the moment. At the same time, the parents get caught up in the moment. What we're trying to do here at the Parent Coach Parent Network, make sure you understand the recruiting process. And if you understand the recruiting process, then you can better guide yourself and your athlete through the process. Coach A, you know, something we didn't touch on, but, you know, we've been beating around it. And I thought about this earlier today, and I said, I know she's going to give us some information on it. Kids that are homeschooled, you know, how do they get involved in the recruiting process? Because, you know, they're athletes just as well, and they may never make a high school team.
Absolutely. Well, with Texas being one of the largest homeschool states, they do very well. They actually have the same rules and guidelines. Actually, their rules are slightly different, but they have the same structure in place, you know, for a better term. And that is meaning they have their regions and classifications. They also do a national tournament. They do their high school and state tournament. And so they are as well put before scouts as well. So there's not anything necessarily taken away. More so, these are athletes that are great student athletes, and usually their academics are a little bit more highly esteemed as well because of their focus appears to be more on that. But some of the top players in the country on the men's and women's side reside here in Texas. There's a kid out of FISA who is one of the top female athletes that will come out of her class, and a year ago, there was a young man who came out. And so homeschool, they definitely have the same resources. If you're at a smaller homeschool, then you're probably going to have to put more effort into the recruitment process as far as sending letters of interest and profiling yourself a little bit more, and obviously playing on a select team in the summertime and to market yourself at that level.
Exactly, exactly. Again, going back to some of the same things. If you're listening good, parents, and you're taking good notes, you keep hearing some of the same pieces of conversation come out. We're talking about communication. We're talking about marketing. We're talking about how to get the best out of it. You know, we keep saying the same thing over and over again. If you learn them small, intricate pieces of the recruiting process, you will be successful. Again, parents, if you want to call in, you're on the Internet and you're listening to us, you can give us a call at 646-929-2416, 646-929-2416. Coach A, we got about 10 more minutes, and I still got some more questions for you, because you know I can go on and on. We can go on and on with this conversation.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm going to give you a few more questions there, then we're going to try to wrap this thing up. But one thing, you know, what happens if, you know, we have a student athlete that doesn't meet that minimum 2.0? Does the NCAA offer any type of waiver?
Waiver meaning their ability to still get in for an athletic scholarship, are you asking?
Yes, yes. You know, if that grade
there,
point
there is no waiver.
Not at 2.0 or 2.0. Say that again. Give it to me one more time.
No, absolutely not. There's no waiver. There's no such thing that exists. If somebody's telling you that, they're telling a lie. That's a white lie of recruitment. And there's no way they can slide you in, and you would be put at risk, and your GPA kind of reflects itself. You probably need to put in a little more effort and bring that GPA up. There's no red shirt for academic purposes any longer.
There you go. There you go. And I will put the stamp on that myself. The Parent Coaching Parent Network would definitely put the stamp on that. Parents, do not get the okey-doke, hoodwinked, bamboozled, run amok, run astray, whatever, based upon somebody telling you, oh, no, don't worry about that. We can get past that because your son is being looked at by Coach K. Your son is being looked at by Coach Gillespie. Your son is being looked at by Coach Cal Perry. Your son is being looked at by I would say USC, but the USC may have gotten them in. I'm sorry. Let me stop that. That ain't right. That ain't right. But, you know, telling you that your child's being looked at by all these different coaches based upon he or she not even having a 2.0. Come on now.
Not
parents,
like
you need to be hit on that one. Okay. But definitely, make sure that child has a minimum of a 2.0, and they ain't going to school for 5 and 6 years in high school just to get that 2.0. If they ain't getting it in eight semester hours, then they're going to be out of the loop. Okay, you know, just a few more, then we're going to wind this thing down. I keep saying that, but I keep got a few more in the back of my notes. How should parents get involved in the recruiting process, or should parents be involved in the recruiting process? What's your thought?
Absolutely. It's, you know, I try to explain it to parents and athletes alike. It's like a relationship. It's like handing your son or your daughter off it's an engagement process, just like a marriage. It's something that will affect the rest of their lives. And so you definitely need to be there, you know, from the foundation up and providing them moral support and absolutely being educated yourself first and foremost. And making sure that they're making the right decisions, they're meeting all of the rules and regulations, and that is more so a parent's responsibility as well, and to make sure that their student athlete is clear as far as the rules and regulations, clearinghouse, and understanding the people that your son or daughter is going to spend, you know, year by year, you know, the next 4 or 5 years of their life with. It's a very short process, and, you know, a lot of times I hear horror stories of athletes getting somewhere and the honeymoon is over as soon as they get on campus. And so, and that has a lot to do with the parental part is, you know, is knowing, you know, nobody knows your son or daughter better than you do. And so you have to match that, and you have to see as far as all of the coaching staff members, you know, will my child succeed in this environment?
You couldn't have said that no better. Man.
No, it's not babysitting.
I'm telling you. Parents, you got to listen to that. If not, you need to go back to the archive copy once we get done with this show and listen to it again, because that was a testimony in itself. Parents, the main reason why you have to be involved in it, to make sure that your child is going to fit that situation. Your child is actually going to be, that's a good fit for your child. Just because that name is Duke, just because that name is Oklahoma, just because that name is Texas A&M, just because that name is USC, that doesn't mean that that's a good fit for your child. Because
that's
the
right.
Bottom line to the whole thing is, hey, you never know. That coach can get that your child on campus and all of a sudden turn into the demon from somewhere we don't want to go. You know?
Absolutely.
So you need to make sure that that child and that coach is a good fit. All right. Now, just a couple more there, Coach A, and then we're going to wrap this thing up there. How can the parents support their student athletes in the recruiting process?
Well, like I said, you know, just further, you know, being there for them, helping them find the right academic situation, preparing them through skill development, ACT and SAT preparation, marketing them in any way that they can, and obviously supporting them morally and however your family system operates to help them perform.
Exactly. And like I said, Coach A, you bring it to us every time and making sure that parents have a full understanding. Parents, come on. You are doing yourself a disservice and definitely doing your child a disservice if you are not paying attention to what we're saying and what information we're trying to share with you. Parents, Coach and Parent Network. And when I say network, I didn't just tag that name network on the end of the Parents, Coach, and Parents just for the sake of saying Parents, Coach, and Parents Network and make it sound like it's actually something going on. No, we are a network of recruiting process, a recruiting services group of folks that's interested in looking out for the best interests of your child, best interests of your student athlete. That's our sole mission, is to look out for the best interests of your student athlete. We're going to try to help you get through this process the best way we know how. And we're going to provide as much service and support to you to make sure that you understand it and you get through the process, and in return, pay that forward later on down the line. Last one there, Coach A. You know, and parents often miss the mark on this one. Are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here, Coach.
Okay, last one, and then we're going to wind this thing down there. What is the biggest difference between the NCAA qualifications and the institute's requirements? You know, in other words, parents think that just because their child qualified with the NCAA, that he or she is going to be able to walk in the door at any college, Harvard, Duke, Yale, Stanford, wherever. Go ahead.
Well, absolutely not. The NCAA qualifications are obviously, the overhead qualifications of what you have to meet to complete at the NCAA level. But per institution, you know, obviously, just like the levels of recruitment, every university, prospective university, is different, and that is by the academic standards. So, for example, if you take an athlete who is a phenomenal athlete, and I met a mother who actually whose daughter is a prospective recruit of Stanford University, and plays for a private school in Dallas, and a tremendous athlete, and you know, just great personality and all that good stuff. But at the same time, if you don't have the SAT score, Stanford cannot let you compete as a student athlete.
You know, and parents, I think we miss that piece all the time. You know, we think that one's going to go ahead and outweigh the other. No, you also have to meet requirements and standards of that particular institution just in order for you to really get in the door, you know, because they want to make sure that you're also going to uphold the tradition and you're going to be a walk-in billboard for their institution, because if you're a student athlete, you're automatically an ambassador for that school.
Absolutely.
You know,
every time you step out on the court, every time you step out in public, you know, they're looking at you as to say, hey, okay, you know, he or she goes to, you know, the University of UCLA, you know. He or she goes to Stanford. He or she goes to Harvard. He or she goes to Hampton. He or she goes to Miami. He or she goes to Florida, whatever the case may be. You know, so you are an ambassador. So they want to make sure that when you step into that college, then you are upholding their traditions, their standards, and you are an ambassador for them. Hey, Coach A, give us something in short, in closing. You know, and matter of fact, hold on before you close out on it. Let me get my man Al Woods in here real quick, and
okay.
Al normally brings us a good commercial as well because he's another free recruiting service, part of the PCP
sure.
network out of Cleveland, Ohio.
Trade the plan of college, then Woods Recruiting has the answer for you. Exposure is the key to being recruited. If they don't know about you, then they can't recruit you. Woods Recruiting will develop a college recruiting plan to fit your needs of gaining exposure to college coaches. Since 1989, Woods Recruiting has helped thousands of high school athletes get recruited and placed in college. Visit our website at woodsrecruiting.com. Woodsrecruiting.com. See for yourself.
All right. Coach A, give us something to close out with.
Well, just in closing, as John C. Maxwell would say, talent is never enough. Knowledge expands your talent. And, you know, I can be reached at lead skills trainer, ttf.blogspot.com. And that's the same lead skills trainer at Yahoo. You can also find me on Facebook.
No, give me that one more time. Give me that one more time. Cause you know, parents can't write that fast. You know, our parents is looking at TV, trying to catch Lifetime channel and stuff at the same time.
Sure.
Give me to them one more time.
It's lead skills, plural. That's lead skills trainer. ttf.blogspot.com. And my email is also leadskillstrainer@yahoo.com.
And I tell you, Coach A is definitely out there to support you, parents. She's out there to help you get through the recruiting process as well. So go ahead and reach out to her. It doesn't make a difference whether or not you're in the Dallas area. If you have an interest and you talk to her, you heard something that we talked about here this evening, then feel free to go ahead and reach out to her. This has been the Parent Coaching Parent Network, and as always, we love to say thank you, and we're here to support you, the parent, as we guide you and your student-athlete through the recruiting process. Parent Coaching Parents, Keith Wright, take us out there, buddy.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then